By the way, Thomas checked in. He said the Djokovic violin was for his daughter.
Yeah, I just read a story. Okay. His daughter's been playing the violin for a few months.
All right. Then that's makes more sense.
That's even worse. I'd rather be playing a violin to mock the crowd than for his daughter. I don't I don't care about that. I'd much rather him be mocking the crowd with the violin. Be way better that way.
Great dad.
Be more fun. I don't care about that. That's not as much fun. The Phillies and Dodgers start a series tonight. How you feeling, Ed? Bobby Miller's pitching.
Not good. Not good at all.
Why not?
I think the Phillies are really good.
Yeah, they've slowed down. They're fine.
I think they're really good.
The Dodgers had to call up some guy named Robleski to pitch the other day.
A couple two-run bombs from that guy.
How many home runs is Christian Walker going to hit against the Dodgers?
Especially in Dodger Stadium.
Yeah. Won't stop. It's
just, he won't stop. They throw him everything. Dave Roberts said, we throw the guy everything. He still hits it out.
It's too bad the Dodgers are up 7.5 games in that division still. I'd appreciate a little bit more if you had to sweat some.
Yeah, the Padres kind of win one, lose two, win two, lose one. They don't really go on these runs that we could like bring them all the way back.
And I think every win they have is a walk-off win.
Yeah.
Jerks
and
Profar in the ninth inning is the greatest hitter in the history of the sport.
Right.
So, yeah, 7.5 back, that was no fun. You could get swept by the Phillies and you're still going to be five and a half up. So it's not quite as much fun. Hell, you'll probably win the series.
Could.
I don't know. Bobby Miller hasn't been very good since coming back.
No, he hasn't.
What a bum.
Is Glasnow going to get any run help?
I'm hoping. Made the All-Star team. Leading the league in strikeouts. Record's not great.
I thought you didn't see any headlines while you were gone.
Well, I know. I know. when I came back, I watched... which game did I watch? I watched the second Brewers game. I was already back.
Did you watch any Dodger games while you were gone? Any of it?
No,
anywhere?
Couldn't. I didn't even...
You don't have the MLB package.
No.
You just watched on
barely
TV.
Turned on the TV.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah.
I'm
had a... in the Airbnb, had a TV on. It was just pointed to country music songs.
God, what a terrible vacation.
What part of North Carolina were you in again?
Asheville and Greensboro.
Okay.
Yeah, beautiful.
And wherever this random waterfall was.
That was in Asheville.
Yeah, okay.
Outside Asheville, was about 30 minutes outside Asheville. Beautiful. Danny, the hike was gorgeous.
Oh, I bet. I used to go hiking in the Shenandoah all the time.
Yeah, great question. Yeah, again, great question.
Rory McIlroy has been spotted. He was eating dinner in London with teammates from the Ryder Cup team, as well as his wife, who is not, they're not getting divorced. McIlroy still hasn't played since his meltdown at the U.S. Open, but he's apparently in good enough spirits to go eat dinner with friends in London.
Well, he won the Scottish Open last year, so he's going to go defend his title before
nobody
the
cares.
Open.
Yeah, not I a soul cares about the Scottish Open. Who's even playing in the Scottish Open?
I bet a lot of guys are to tune up for the Open Championship.
Tyler, you're going to be there. You need to stop by.
I do not care. Not for a second.
Just go hassle him.
Unless Rory's melting down.
You'll run over.
I'll show up and be like,
get an Uber over.
Don't miss this 3-foot putt, Rory.
That's why you just need to follow him, and then every time he misses a putt inside 5 feet, just yell, Rory sucks.
Will he be playing with somebody named Rune so I can boo him by yelling Rune the entire time?
Just play the violin.
Yeah, that's good. That's going to be the key there. So McIlroy, eating dinner, Ed. He's okay.
He's excited. He has a big smile on his face.
He's doing
he's
fine.
He's, yeah,
he's not
ready.
He's not still broken down after blowing the U.S. Open.
He's doing fine.
No chance at winning the British Open.
Winning the Open Championship? I'm not so sure.
No, Ed, I've seen this guy.
I'm not so sure.
Did you see the U.S. Open meltdown?
I saw the U.S. Open.
He can't handle the pressure. Can't handle it.
It's been a long time since the last major.
It's been like a decade.
Yeah, I know. I know how long it's been.
What a bum.
Next question.
Dan Hurley has signed his new contract with UConn. It's going to pay him $50 million over the course of 6 years. He's still not the highest paid coach in college basketball. The Lakers' offer to him was 6 years and $70 million. How many people do you think would turn down an extra $3.3 million per year to stay in Connecticut as opposed to coaching the Lakers?
Well, did you see Gilbert Arenas on his podcast?
Do I want to know what Gilbert Arenas said on his podcast?
Yeah, you do. We, the Lakers, didn't offer Clay 80. Stop listening to Woj and them. We didn't offer that coach no $70 million. Y'all crazy talk. We, the Lakers, You use our name to get famous to boost your financial status with other teams. So Gilbert's telling us he didn't get offered $70 million.
Did Gilbert Arenas ever even play for the Lakers?
I'm not sure. That's why
not.
No, he didn't.
He said, what is this, we the Lakers?
I know, didn't offer $80 million, dog. Stop listening to Woj and them. We didn't offer Clay 80, and we didn't offer that coach no 70.
Why would he know?
I have no idea, because he's the Lakers.
What is
we
happening?
The Lakers.
Does he have a straight line to Rob Pelinka?
I don't know where that came from. Are you sure he didn't play for them?
No, he didn't.
Warriors, Wizards, Magic, Grizzlies, and the Shanghai Sharks. He went to high school in Los Angeles.
So maybe he's a fan?
Maybe he's a fan. Maybe he's a grown-up Laker fan?
Maybe. But that's a weird thing to do, even if you grew up a fan and then you played for four different NBA teams over the course of a, 12-year career. We the Lakers?
Maybe he considers himself a Laker.
That's bizarre. What is going on? That's the best update on anything that's happened in the offseason in the NBA is that Gilbert Arenas is saying we the Lakers and thinks he knows what they are. Why would he know? Even if he was a Lakers fan. What's going on there?
Gilbert Arenas. It's like you said, do you even want to know what he said? Turning down $3.3 million extra. I know it's 50.
Per year.
It's 50 and 70. It's a lot of money regardless, but that's a lot of money to turn down.
And to stay in Connecticut as to go to L.A.
Right.
Like all the time we talk about in the NBA, the markets. Everybody wants to be in L.A., Miami, New York. And this guy was like, I'm going to stay in Storrs, Connecticut for less money. Then going to L.A., that's kind of bizarre. I know they've got a good team, and there's the whole, hey, we can go through it for a three-peat type thing, but...
I wonder if it had... Obviously, it has to do with his family and all that, but I wonder if, the money that the Lakers were willing to offer didn't quite make up for how much more in taxes he'd be paying.
I think it would. I don't know. Well, Connecticut's not a taxless state, so...
No, but it's fine. Nowhere near L.A.
Yeah, it would have been fine. The rich people figure out how to not pay taxes, Danny. Haven't you been paying attention?
I don't know. I have to pay extra taxes.
Yeah, we're not rich. We pay more taxes. Rich people don't pay taxes. What are you doing?
What was the question again? I'm sorry. I just got off the phone.
The Giants general manager, Joe Shane, blamed Daniel Jones' contract for not keeping Saquon Barkley. He gave the quote, "You're paying the guy $40 million. It's not to hand the ball off to a $12 million back." So Daniel Jones is getting paid too much to keep Saquon Barkley around?
Who decided to give him $40 million?
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
I mean,
so here's the thing. His logic, I'm fine with that. Hey, we pay the quarterback a lot of money. We're not going to pay the running back a lot of money because running backs aren't as important as quarterbacks. The problem is the quarterback they have is not very good.
He's not worth $40 million a year.
They never should have paid him $40 million. Whereas Barkley, and running back value and all that's a fun topic, but Barkley's a good running back in the league, and $12 million is a lot for a running back, but it's not like, oh, God, Saquon Barkley's making $12 million, your entire roster's done for.
Right.
Whereas Daniel Jones is making $40 million. Your entire roster might be done for. The logic there isn't too bad. Just, you need to be talking about different players, better players at the quarterback position for that to actually hold some weight there. But I do love the idea that, hey, I screwed up on this quarterback contract.
I was going to say, you paid him the $40 million.
So I can't pay the running back a bunch of money either. That would be stupid.
Okay.
Silence.
Ed. We're going to get the Mountain West Dew Conference here pretty soon.
Yeah.
Nevada's athletic director wants to sell the naming rights of the conference. So multiple conferences have been considering selling naming rights. The Big 12 was the report last month and how they could become the Big All-State Conference or the All-State 12 Conference, something stupid like that. The athletic director at Nevada said, if that means selling the naming rights for the Mountain West Conference, that's something will generate revenue for all of us to share in. We think that's great.
Does we mean him or does we mean everybody?
I think that means Nevada.
Yeah.
I think that means the Nevada Athletic Department.
I think UNR thinks it's a great idea.
Now, here's the thing. If I was Eric Harper or any athletic director in the Mountain West, I think I'm on board with this too. I would not care about like the sanctity of the name of the conference. Like, oh, we can't ruin the name of the Mountain
and
West.
And given the discrepancy in revenue between them and Power Fours, you do what you can to get more money.
Yeah. Now, how much is the Mountain West going to get if they come up with a naming sponsor? I mean, what are we talking? Well, $5-10 million a year
like
for
TV
the whole
deals.
Conference. It'll help. Every school might get an extra million or something, probably a little less. But if the Big 12 sells theirs, it's going to be for significantly more than what the Mountain West would be. And then if the SEC and Big 10 say, hey,
forget
that's a good idea.
SEC?
Right. Then they're getting even more, and the discrepancy between the Mountain West and the SEC somehow grows more and more. But I would be on board with it. I would not care for a second if we went from playing in the Mountain West to playing in the Mountain Dew West Conference or whoever, the In-N-Out Mountain West Conference.
What is it? Changing
whoever's going to sponsor.
Changing a logo?
Yeah. And the
shirts?
I mean, the funniest thing is going to be like when the commissioner has to talk and they have to say
the Mountain Dew Conference.
Right. I'm the commissioner of the Mountain Dew West Conference. Like, that's the funniest part of the whole thing, is that you officially have to say, here's the champion of the Big All-State Conference.
Right.
Like, that's the funny part of it. But I wouldn't
care
about
either.
It. Yeah, it'd be perfectly fine. Hell, if I was an athletic director, I'd be like, can we be like the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, terrible Herbst Rebels? Like,
as long as you're getting some money for it.
I'd be like, how do we do this? Can we put ads on the jerseys?
Yeah.
Like, I'd be trying to figure out something here, because money is taking over college football and college basketball. And as we've talked about, there might come a time where UNLV gets left behind, where there actually
is
a break, and
there's
all of a sudden
break between the big boys and everyone else.
And all of a sudden, you're kind of Division II or whatever it would be called at that point.
Those are great. That's another great question.
UNLV's home opener will air on the Silver State Sports and Entertainment Network. That is their second game of the year against Utah Tech. Their season opener is on the road against Houston. But the game against Utah Tech was the only game that wasn't picked up by national TV. Yes, the CW counts as national TV.
Sure.
But this game kicks off at 12:30 and will be on the Silver State Sports Entertainment Network. So all of their games, all 12, will be on television. You will not have to watch on the Mountain West Network online or anything like that. All 12 on TV, which I think is good, because having to pull it up on a computer or something is not as good.
Step forward.
Even if you might have to bust out the digital antenna to get the Silver State Sports and Entertainment Network, it's still on a TV channel.
I think I'll be at that one more so than watching
probably
on TV. What's it, 12:30?
12:30, Saturday, home. Utah Tech. There's not going to be that much to write from that one, is there?
63-7.
Probably. I guess if they lost, then it'd be like, uh-oh.
Oh, good thing I came.
But they're not going to lose to Utah Tech, so
they'll
be fine. Yeah, it'll be a blowout. They'll probably play like 7 quarterbacks. Somebody will be playing quarterback we haven't heard of before. Like, wait, who's that guy? Why is he the best one on the field? All right, coming up next here on ESPN Las Vegas, we'll get into some NFL.
To do a normal bi-week schedule that it is now, like have it spread out, but then like week 13, do like the Pro Bowl break, where you're doing like the 7-on-7 and all the skills challenges like the NBA does, because I think that would get more ratings for the Pro Bowl.
Yes.
And then it would also give everybody that bye week going into like the last 6 games. Guys that are injured that would be able to potentially come back, and you want your best players out there as a league. You want them in the last 6 weeks of the season. You want your best players on the field. So I think that would be a smart idea.
You're on the elevator up to the press box with Graney and Bischoff.
Summer of fun. We're giving away a trip to Wyoming. All you got to do is text us the code word. Today's code word is music. The text line is 702-364-1100. So text music to 702-364-1100 to get entered to win this week's vacation, which is Cowboy Adventure in Alpine, Wyoming, 39 miles outside of Jackson Hole. Stay at Rockin' M Ranch for 5 nights. Enjoy horseback riding adventures, fly fishing, and more. It includes a rental car and $500 in spending cash. So if that sounds like fun, text music to 702-364-1100. If it doesn't sound like fun, you can still text music to 702-364-1100, because if you win and don't want to go to Wyoming, you can take $3,000 instead. So music's the word today. 702-364-1100 is the text line. Danny, can you fill everybody in on what's happening with Boise State's running back Ashton Jeanty and the Mountain West media days, which are this week? And we will be there on Wednesday.
Thursday.
Thursday.
We will be there on Thursday.
Aston Jeanty, one of, if not the best running back in the conference. He's only 20 years old. Mountain West Media Day, along with Big 12, I believe, will be held at Circa Resort and Casino.
Big 12's at Allegiant.
Oh, it's at Allegiant.
So if he played for in the Big 12, he could actually go to those.
Oh, he could go. But so Circa, which is holding Mountain West Media players on Wednesday, coaches on Thursday, they have a rule that you have to be 21 years old to step foot in the building. Aston Jeanty is only 20 years old, so he will not be able to attend the Mountain West Media
Best
Day.
Player in conference.
He will be holding press conferences or whatever. I'm not sure on the exact details, but he will be holding something at the Bellagio Casino as well as the Golden Gate Casino because he cannot go to Circa, where they will also be sending two other Boise State players to represent the school.
The best player in the league, one of the best running backs in the country, going to be a Heisman Trophy guy that they put up for the Heisman Trophy, and he can't get into the league meetings to say hello.
And also, they're from what I've seen by the Boise State beat writers, they're supposed to be doing a new jersey unveiling this week at those media days that he cannot.
He's not getting a new jersey to wear it. Yeah, he's not even going to get to wear it during the season. You got to be 21 to wear those jerseys. I'm surprised that he's the only player, but two, like, if you're the Mountain West, you're dealing with football teams that have half the roster, if not more, is under 21 years old.
Yeah.
And you're holding the media day somewhere where a lot of players wouldn't be able to go to in general.
This is because the basketball media days are at casinos also. I think it was at Circa. If I'm not mistaken, it was last year and it was at a casino, maybe Circa, maybe somewhere else. This is the first time I've heard of this.
Yeah, the Mountain West moves them around. They've been at a bunch of different places. So
Cosmo.
Yeah, Circa's the only one that's maybe not the only one. I shouldn't say that, but it's the only one I think they've been at that's 21 and up.
As far as I know, it is the only casino in town that's 21.
Okay.
As far as I know.
So
this is the first time I've ever heard of anything like this.
Yeah, which is weird because, like, you know, Mountain West, if like the basketball was doing this, DJ Thomas is not 21.
It's true.
And he would very clearly be the
one of the ones that the Rebels want to represent.
Yeah. I mean, hell, is DJ Thomas 18 yet? He was.
I think he just turned 18.
So, like, yeah, it's strange. It's a weird sort of setup, and I'm surprised Aston Jeanty's the only one, given that a lot of players are going to be under the age of 21 that play college football or college basketball in the coming years. But he'll be just randomly at a different hotel.
Yeah, I'm surprised they don't make an exception because, I mean, obviously the players are going to be with their coaches. They're probably going to also have, like, escorts of some sort, whether it's hotel security or actual police escorts. All you got to do is just make sure he stays on the path, doesn't go on the casino floor, just walk him into the ballroom, he does his thing, and then you escort him out of the building. I'm surprised they don't make an exception for it.
I mean, what if he really wants to? You think somebody's tackling him? You seen that guy play?
You seen him?
He ran for 153 yards on UNLV.
Oh, I know. I bet on that game.
I'm just saying, one of these security guards walks him out there. If he really wants to get on the casino floor, they're not stopping him. He's going to hit him with a juke move. They'll be on the ground with the broken ankles, and all of a sudden he's at a slot machine.
And then all of a sudden he's arrested and he's in jeopardy of playing.
So has no one under the age of 21 ever been inside of Circa?
No, they have security at every doorway checking IDs.
Yeah, but like you're saying, like you would think they could make an exception and walk this kid in.
No,
walk him out. Have they never had a special guest or something that's under the age of 21?
Apparently not. I mean, I wonder how this even came up. Did Circa come to them and say, "Hey, if any of these kids are under 21, they can't come in"? Or
they probably agreed to everything, and then like a few months later, they were like, "Wait a minute, you guys know we're 21 and over, right?"
Exactly.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I would venture to say that none of these programs know that Circa is 21 plus.
Yeah, I mean, why would you?
Exactly.
If you don't live here, even if you do live here, you probably might not know.
Right.
But why would you? But genuinely, like, have they never had, like, I don't know, some musician or somebody famous that was like, "I want to go to Circa. I saw the commercial for your pool. I want to go there." And they're like, "Sorry, you're 20. And
they'll turn you down.
Never let anyone under the age of 21 in the casino.
Maybe they have, and Ashton Gentry's just not a big enough deal. Maybe if it was the Mountain West Duke Conference, they would let him in.
Ooh, if he only played in the Code Red Division.
Oh, the Code Red Division. They can break the rules.
Although, with their colors, what was the Blue Mountain Dew? Was it Code Blue, or was it actually something fun?
That sounds like a bad name, so I don't think it's Code Blue. All right. Think they'd name it something else.
Well, did this surprise you?
What?
The 21 and 21 rule?
That Circa has it?
Yeah.
It's probably the greatest rule any casino's ever had. You think I want to go somewhere where there's kids?
No, I'm just saying, did you know it?
Yeah. Okay. Because, I mean, every time we go, we walk out of the parking garage, you got to give that guy your ID.
Your ID, exactly.
So, but yeah. Yeah, I was aware of this rule. I wouldn't have put it together in my head that, hey, there's media day
football
there
players that
some of the
might
guys
not
aren't
be 21.
21. So that would have been tough. But, yeah. So, poor Ashton Gentry. Meanwhile, I wanted to read this stat for you that I stole from Reddit. Josh Jacobs this year, going into this year, he has 197 career receptions. He has zero career receiving touchdowns. The record for most career receptions without a receiving touchdown is 201.
He's on pace.
Now, technically, to hold that record, he would have to go his entire career without ever catching one.
Right.
Like, if he breaks this record and he's at 205 and then catches one.
Yeah, but then he catches it.
Right. But there is a chance Josh Jacobs, especially given how quickly running back careers can decline, Josh Jacobs has a year where he catches some passes but not any touchdowns, and then maybe declines like running backs do. Jacobs could be the all-time leader for receptions without a receiving touchdown.
Something to put on the resume.
I feel like this is Derek Carr's fault.
Ouch.
I don't know how, but I feel like this is Derek Carr's fault.
Something to blame him on?
I mean, they were bad in the red zone for like all of Derek Carr's tenure.
They were terrible under Gruden.
Right. They were bad in the red zone. Carr was not a great passer in the red zone. Jacobs ran the ball in, obviously, quite a lot. But I think this is somehow Derek Carr's fault. Also, probably some Gruden blame in there as well, I'm guessing. Like, just play calling and scheming and what you want to do in the red zone. Because you can, I don't want to say it's easy, but you can scheme up a running back receiving touchdown. I mean, just go watch the Chargers with Austin Eckler for like the, not
right,
last year,
right,
but the previous 2 years.
Well, maybe the Packers will do it.
Every time they got inside the five, yeah, Austin Eckler was somehow open on the goal line. So you can scheme it up. I did see another stat on Reddit that the Packers over the last 3 years have the fewest receiving touchdowns by running backs in the NFL. Which seems wrong because I feel like the Raiders would be lower,
right,
since Jacobs doesn't have one.
And
other running backs have,
yeah,
caught one. But apparently the Packers do not throw touchdowns to their running backs either.
He's going
to
get the record.
That's a little surprising. I figured Aaron Jones would have quite a few.
He's been hurt a little bit over the past couple of years. And if this is me paying attention solely on fantasy football, if I remember correctly, I feel like A.J. Dillon got more snaps inside the 10 than A.J. Dillon when they were both healthy. But I might be wrong on that. That's just me yelling about fantasy football.
Also, I know we need to go to break, but real quick, Cade and Colby both said that the Circa has a steakhouse where under 21 can go, but once you're done eating, you got to go.
Well, have the press conference there. What are you putting this kid at the Bellagio
put him
for?
In the steakhouse.
Put him in the steakhouse.
That'd
Why
be
are
great.
You putting this kid in other places around town?
Nah, I go to
league.
Golden
best
Gate.
Best player in the league. And by the way, as he's doing his press conference, give the kid a ribeye. Yeah. I mean, feed him.
After the way he ran on them at Allegiant Stadium, you think they're going to feed him a ribeye?
Coming up next, Charles McDonald joins the show.
He covers the NFL, but only the Bulldogs can bring him happiness. Yahoo Sports' Charles McDonald joins the show. Follow him on Twitter at @4verts.
Good morning, Charles.
Hey, Charles.
Hello.
Did you go to San Diego over the weekend?
I did. I had a fantastic time. Went for the fourth, went to a Padres game. Manny Machado walk-off after a choke grand slam to start the ninth inning. Great time. I ate like a million tacos, and somehow I lost like 5 pounds. Like 10 out of 10, would recommend.
Hard place to have a bad time in, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was, especially like coming from New York City in the summertime where it just feels like a furnace and a sauna at the same time. Like going to a place where it was 75 every day with a nice breeze was a nice change of pace, and it had me reconsidering some things. You know, I got to see some friends. I was like, why don't, maybe I should live here. Maybe I should live here. But I got to think about it first and see how my family would feel about me moving across the country.
What is the worst, hey, it's July, no sports are actually happening, summer headline? Dak Prescott was in a walking boot, or Bronny James scored 4 points in a fake summer league game?
Oh, it's the Bronny James stuff for sure. Like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Like, I understand there's nothing going on right now. Although, you know, there's still, like, some big-time soccer tournaments going on. The Olympics are about to start. But I guess we're just going to do, like, Bronny James summer league dissection, which is like pretty low on the content, like on the content hierarchy, I would say. I don't know. First of all, like, summer league hasn't even like officially started. This is like a classic they have before,
right? Summer league. The real summer league.
So I really don't understand like the fascination. I know it was his first game, but I don't know. We'll see what happens there. If we're gonna do this every day, like every time he plays a summer league game, that seems like it would get pretty tiring pretty fast. Because at the end of the day, like even if the draft manipulation wasn't going on by LeBron and Rich Paul, like we're still talking about a late second round pick kind of talent. That is probably not going to have like too many spectacular summer league moments. And then I'm sure that that's going to be held against them. It's going to start more talking points. And I'd say we can just stop this right now and just watch the games as they come.
Are you surprised that LeBron James was willing to take a pay cut for the Lakers to get somebody like Klay Thompson or maybe DeMar DeRozan? And despite LeBron's willingness, the Lakers still couldn't actually get another player to join this team?
I mean, I'm a little bit surprised that they can't get anyone because, you know, like when you watch them play, like, I know it sounds like loser crybaby nonsense, but when they've gotten into these series with the Nuggets over the past few years, you know, they've had a chance to win just about every game that they played. And you remember it took Jamal Murray had like basically two game winning shots. In that series against the Lakers. So, you know, if I'm the Lakers, like, I probably would feel like, man, if we can just get, like, a Clay or, you know, someone of that caliber in here, maybe we'd have a chance to start, like, winning some series instead of just getting closer. But, you know, for whatever reason, people just don't really seem interested in you know, making that leap and going over there. I feel like, you know, if you're Clay and you could play with LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and you know, some of the other guys they have, that would be not a terrible landing spot. But it's not like, you know, playing with Luka and Kyrie is really a big step down from that. It's probably even just a little bit better based on where LeBron is in his career compared to where Luka is. So I get it to a degree, but still, it is kind of interesting that they keep striking on everybody. I mean, it's been like 6 years, and yeah, you got the Anthony Davis trade and you traded everybody, but since then, really since that title, it's just been bad move after bad move. And now they're maxed out with a roster that's like a, you know, a play-in team, and maybe you're fighting in the first round and the second round.
I want to go to the NFL for a second. I don't know if we've asked you your thoughts on an 18-game schedule, but Burrow came out and said there should be two bye weeks for each team, one bye week serving as the All-Star week to eliminate the Pro Bowl schedule before being in the Super Bowl. What do you think about those comments, what he said? And if there was an All-Star week during a bye week, during the season, who would want to play and risk it?
Yeah, I mean that's the big thing. I'm sure it will be like more like the Pro Bowl games type deal. You know, where these guys are, but even just a flag football tournament could always end up in someone's tearing their ACL. So yeah, I think participation would still be the big thing here, and also, you know, I imagine that a lot of guys, if they were offered a second bye week, would want to use it as a second bye week, you know, and not go play flag football somewhere in the desert or like Orlando or something like that. I do think overall it's a good idea. And I think the best idea that he has is scheduling it so that the Super Bowl falls before President's Day, so you get the de facto Monday off. Now that's the kind of like talk that can get you into the White House. Like that's the best idea I've heard from anybody in a long time, because you know everybody complains. You know, I don't want to go to work the day after the Super Bowl. You know, for me as a media person, like yeah, I'm flying back from somewhere that's really not anywhere close to New York City. For other people who are just watching the game, I had 15 beers and you know maybe some other things I shouldn't have put into my body yesterday. I need a day off from work. It just works out for everybody. So. And I will say, if you're going to do 18 weeks, like just on a practicality standpoint, you absolutely have to do 2 bye weeks because the season is long enough as it is. You know, some people would even argue that like one week is not enough time for your body to heal after playing a football game, let alone a Thursday night game or, you know, some of these other, you know, mishaps that we've seen with scheduling over the past 2 years. Get another bye week in there. I think it'd be good for everybody if you're going to have to do 18 games, which is, I think that's eventually going to come down the pipeline, probably within the next CBA if the owners are going to get what they want. So, you know, we've moved pretty fast from the 16 games to 17 games, not the 18 game talk, but there's a reason for that. And if we're going to do 18 games, I think 2 byes is a must. And Joe Burrow, you've got the best idea for his schedule that I've heard anyone have so far.
I will be a single-issue voter for the presidency if Joe Burrow ran under the sole platform of Super Bowl before President's Day. That's all it will take for me.
That's all it would take for me at this point, honestly. That's all it takes for me to get my vote.
Charles, before I let you go, I did want to ask you, are you going to watch a lot of Olympic basketball? I think the games are all going to tip off between like 11 and 3 Eastern time. Are you going to be tuned in to see LeBron James and Steph Curry wreck the rest of the world?
We'll see. The only thing that ever stops me from watching Olympic basketball is simply what time the game comes on. So if it's on 11, between like 11 and 3 Eastern, yeah, I'll probably watch just about every single game. Now, like the years when it's on like 2 o'clock in the morning at 3, no, I'm not going to be very patriotic or care at all, to be honest with you. But if I can watch it like and not do work in the middle of the day and, you know, have more fun than I would be normally having, I'll be locked in for sure.
Well, he's Charles McDonald. Follow him on Twitter at @4verts. Enjoy not being in San Diego. Thanks, Charles.
Thanks, Charles.
Later.
So there's Charles McDonald.
I lived there a long time. It's hard to find fault in it.
Yeah.
It's hard to find fault in San Diego. Except for the housing prices.
I was going to say, I got to find a way that I can live there for 3 months every year when it's 120 degrees here. That'd be pretty nice. Danny just wants to get out of here, period.
Yes.
Out of the heat?
Danny's having a crisis when it's 120 degrees.
From like Memorial Day to like mid-October, I am miserable.
Hotter early and earlier now, too.
It's so...
What a shock.
This morning I was driving in. It was 92.
I had my window down. It was great. It was nice driving in this morning.
Get out of here, Tyler.
It was wonderful.
Oh.
No? It's great. Listen, I've been driving on the highway at like 3 in the afternoon before. In the summer.
Yeah, I do it every day.
And people have their windows down.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's wrong with
you
people?
Those people are psychos.
Yeah, that's when it's like 115 and they're like, oh, this is great breeze.
I used to have to do that with the first car I ever had.
Don't tell me you didn't have AC.
I did.
Oh.
Tyler, this car was made before AC came
Danny.
Out.
Oh, like, that's brutal.
Yeah, it was a 78 and cloth seats.
And this is when you were in Virginia?
No, this was here.
Oh, it was here.
It was. I got it my senior year of high school. I drove for 2 years. I was miserable.
Oh, that's tough.
I would have to bring extra clothes because I would just sweat through whatever I drove in.
Yeah, that's cruel.
That's hard.
I would just change wherever I got.
That should probably be illegal.
Yes.
To have a car here without AC.
Yeah.
It should probably be against the law.
Yeah.
All right. Poor Danny. We got more tickets to give away if you want to go to the Battle for Vegas. We've got 2 tickets for you. It's the 5th Annual Battle for Vegas Charity Softball Game, Saturday, July 13th at Las Vegas Ballpark. 2 all-star teams. It's the Golden Knights against the Raiders. Tickets at battleforvegas.com, or you can just win a pair from us right now. Tobin Motorcars is a proud sponsor for the Battle for Vegas Charity Softball Game. Visit TobinMotorcars.com to explore their full gallery of new and pre-owned luxury vehicle. 702-364-1100. That is the phone number if you want to go out to the Battle for Vegas charity softball game. Be caller number 6 right now at 702-364-1100. That's caller 6 at 702-364-1100.
This is the Press Box with Granny and Bischoff on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, Ed, I got to read you this tweet. This is from Adam Aronson, who covers the Philadelphia 76ers. Because we talked earlier about the Sixers having a big three with Embiid, Maxey, and Paul George. Asked Kelly Oubre how the Sixers' big three stacks up against others in the league. Oubre said, "I think we have a big 12 or a big 15.
Wait, do they even have 12 players?
I don't know.
A couple weeks ago, they had 2 players.
So, Kelly Oubre doesn't like your big three talk. The whole roster is a big 12.
Wow.
They're 12 deep.
Listen, if they have a big 12, they're winning.
They're going to win the title,
They're
going
to win the title if they have a big 12.
They've got 12 superstars.
Yes,
they're going
they're
going
to win the title.
Embiid doesn't even have to play the whole year.
No, he can get hurt again.
Yeah, they'll win the title. No problem. So, that's Kelly Oubre. One thing, Ed, that I love is when the rest of the world caters to American sports. Because in the Olympics...
You talk about the Olympics, obviously.
The Olympic basketball schedule. So every day, pretty much, there's 4 games until we get to like the semifinals and stuff. There's 4 games every day, men's or women's. I think they alternate men one day, women the next, like that. The game times, Pacific, so our time, the game times are 2 a.m., 4:30 a.m., 8:15 a.m., and noon. Every single U.S. game, men's and women's, starts at either 8:15 a.m. Pacific or noon Pacific. And then in the quarterfinals, there is one at 2. I don't know how they decide who goes to which quarterfinal, but there is a quarterfinal that starts at 2. I'm guessing we'll be in either the 9 a.m. or the 12:30 quarterfinals.
So you're starting 5 to 7 p.m.
Yeah.
In Paris.
So there was an opportunity for the United States to have to play at 2 a.m. Pacific.
Right.
But the Olympics caters to the Americans, and we get all of the late time slots.
Darn right.
Which is fantastic.
Darn right.
So we do not have to stay up way too early or wake up way too early or stay up way too early for anything stupid like that. It's great. I'm looking now at soccer. Every single U.S. soccer game, men's or women's, starts at either 10 a.m. Pacific or noon Pacific. Phenomenal.
5 or 7.
God, it's great being an American sometimes.
5 or 7.
We don't have to wake up at 2 ridiculous times. That's great. Like, for example, the Dominican Republic is in the World Cup men's soccer. One of their games is at 6 a.m. Argentina, men's soccer, 6 a.m. game. Those countries are on damn near the same time zone as America.
6 a.m. here.
Yeah, 6 a.m. Pacific time. So you're in Argentina. Here's your, 1 hour ahead or something like that?
Yeah.
Here's your 7 a.m. soccer game. Good luck with that. It's great. It's phenomenal. They did this in the Women's World Cup, too, where when it was in Australia, all the games were like at a watchable hour. And then the women didn't win their group, so their quarterfinal game was at like 2 in the morning. If they had won their group, it would have been at like 8 in the morning.
They want those American TV ratings.
Oh, it's great.
They want those American TV ratings.
Phenomenal work. Now, obviously, we'll be doing a show during the 8:15 ones, but I'm probably going to watch
it. Will we have it on the TV or Charmed?
That's a good question.
We could have Charmed again. Charmed replays.
We're going to have sports on anytime there's sports.
Yeah.
As you can see, we have the Wimbledon on right now.
Nothing on right now.
Yeah. The one thing that annoys me is when NBC does like tape delay stuff, because they're like, oh, this great swim meet happened at 5 in the morning, and now it's 5 p.m., so we're going to put it on in prime time. And I'm like, no,
We already know who won.
We got 24-hour news now. We know who won these. We watch these. That's what happens. It's going to be great. I'm going to watch as much Olympic basketball as I can.
Will you watch 3-on-3?
Yes. I don't know what time that's on. I'll have to look that up. But yes.
Men's and women's.
I enjoy the 3-on-3.
Jimmer.
It's genuine. Oh, Jimmer Fredette's on
Jimmer.
It?
Yeah, he's always
on it.
Oh, I'm
watching
this. Yeah. He last year? He is Mr. USA Basketball 3-on-3.
Yeah.
Jimmer. Yeah.
I don't remember watching the men. I remember
watching Kelsey Plum.
Yeah.
I watched the 3-on-3 women.
Young.
Yeah, and Jackie Young.
But yeah, 3-on-3, it's it's fun. Like, it's not something that I'd be like, oh, we need a league. It's 3-on-3
right.
and all
no,
that.
But it's fun
but,
to watch.
Yeah, because it's quick-paced. It's a lot of fun. So we'll have to look and see if they cater to us for the 3-on-3 schedule as well. And by the way, they need to cater to us for the swimming. I want to watch Katie Ledecky swim laps
right.
around the rest
without
of the world.
Without knowing she already won and watching it 9 hours
right.
later on prime time.
I want it to be on, like, at noon or I right. get home and I'm like, damn right, Katie Ledecky's the best swimmer in
yes.
the world. Who are all these other bums that are still on, like, they're three laps behind. Ledecky's already done watching, waiting around for him. So, yeah, let's go. Olympic basketball. It'll be great.
The first women's game is at 5:30 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Oh, a nighttime game.
Which I don't know how that's possible. If they're 8 hours ahead, that means they're playing at 1 o'clock in the morning?
That seems wrong, I'm going to guess.
I'm looking at the Olympics website.
Do you have the toggle switch to my time zone?
Ah, that's Paris time. So it's 8:30 a.m.
Okay, I'll take it.
And then the first men's game is at 1:35 that same day, Tuesday the 30th. Yes, 1:35 p.m.
All right, I'm on. I'm in. I'm watching those. That's great.
1:35 is perfect.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
So it looks like they actually play back-to-back days, the 30th and 31st.
Well, yeah, they're short games. They don't take that long.
Yeah.
They could play multiple games in a day if they had. They could wrap that whole tournament up in like five hours if they wanted to.
Yeah, each day has...
It'd be fine.
Each day has 8 games going.
Yeah, so Olympics are almost here. It's going to be great. Hopefully we'll actually win something on like our damn soccer team that decided to lose. Which, by the way, for anybody that's not aware... Men's soccer in the Olympics is an under-21 sport.
Right.
So it's not like Argentina's in it. Lionel Messi's not playing in the Olympics, right? We're in it. We're not sending
your
men's
top,
team.
Top men's.
You're allowed, I think it's 2 exceptions. So we are sending a couple of guys that were just on the team. But
they're under-21.
But they didn't actually play. So, yeah, but it's just under-21. The women's side is the actual rosters. Like, that's our actual women's national team that's going over there. Alex Morgan got left off the roster.
Yeah, she's done, right?
Yeah, so she might play in some friendlies after the Olympics, but she probably won't play in any more competitive tournaments unless there's injuries, which happen. So she could get called up. She's not useless, but she's older.
35?
Doesn't score goals anymore. She's got like, I think it's like 1 goal in the professional league in the NWSL this year. Like, she has not been scoring, which is not great because that's her position.
Kind of what she does.
Yeah, if she's not doing that, she's not doing much else.